Fusion, good to be with you. My name is Bo. I'm one of the pastors around here. Get to help lead this community. So great to be with you. I want to give another shout out to all of the men. Please join us on the men's retreat in 2 weeks. I'm going to be there. Several of the pastors and the team are going to be there. It's going to be an incredible weekend together. Please join us. Don't wait. Spots are running out like you heard. So go to the lobby. Please sign up. We'd love to see you guys up at the men's retreat. Well, welcome to Fusion. So glad that you guys are all here tonight. I want to add my welcome to any new people who might be joining us, just checking out Fusion. We're so glad that you are here. Fusion is a place where 18 to 35-year-olds, where young adults can come and find your people, and we believe find your purpose. This is a place where you can come, you can find friends, you can find community, you can find a place to belong. Even before you believe, you can find a place to belong here. And then we believe that as you find belonging, as you find friends in a place and in a community here, Jesus is going to change your life. And we believe that as he changes your life, you're going to discover more and more of his purpose for you. And that purpose, I don't know the specifics of your particular purpose, but I know that there are some very common things that all of our purposes have in common. We all have a purpose to worship God, to have an intimate relationship with him. One of our purposes is that we would build strong and healthy friendships with other Christians, other people to walk with. And one of our purposes is that we would extend his reach into this world. We would extend his kingdom. We would love others in this city. So we're glad that you are here. Welcome. This is a place for you. Hey, grab your bulletins, which hopefully you got on the way in. You got some verses and some spaces to write some things down in there. As this is a place that cares about you and that cares about your friendships, we're in a series right now called Friending. And we're taking a look at the kind of friendships that we should be pursuing and maybe the kind of friendships that we don't need to pursue any longer. We're going to talk about that next week. Our theme verse for this series is Proverbs 13, verse 20, which says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." As the saying goes, show me your friends and I will show you your future. Our friends impact the direction of our life and where we're going. I think one of the great issues that we all face in our society, in our world today, is a misunderstanding of what friendship even means. It kind of seems like the word friendship, the word friend, has been hijacked, and now it defines something that isn't actually a real friendship. Take Facebook, for example. On Facebook, we have... We can say that out loud. It's okay. In Facebook, we have... Okay, good. You guys are familiar with Facebook. You know what that is. Okay, good. We got friends on Facebook, right? Hundreds of them. Thousands of them. Are any of you, honest time right now, are any of you friends with somebody on Facebook that you don't actually like in real life? Are they in this room right now? Blink at me if that's true. Is it me? No, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. Who was grateful that a couple years ago they gave us the ability to hide friends on Facebook, right? You're like, I don't want to see you. I don't even know. Who are you? I don't even know you. I don't want to see your stuff. Unfollow. Hide. I don't want to see you. Anybody wish that we could do that in real life with people sometimes? Come back next week. Tom's going to talk more about how to do that. As we're learning in this series, the Bible has a lot to say about our friendships. It has a lot to say about the type of friends that we should surround ourselves with and the kind of friends that we should seek to be for others. Because the truth is, your friends shape your world. They just do. And we need real friends in our lives to help us become everything that God intended for us to be. God has a plan for you to be the church, to live as the church, and you need the right friends around you to help you in that. When Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, he was giving basically a how-to on how to church. And when talking about that, he writes in Ephesians chapter 2, it'll be on the screen, it's in your bulletin. "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers or foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him. becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Now, we are carefully joined together with who? Other people in Christ. Other followers of Jesus in Christ. So if God's plan is that we would be joined together with other followers of Jesus so that we could live out our mission to be the church, to share God's love and compassion and his heart for this world, we need to think carefully, therefore, about who we surround ourselves with. Last week, we talked about how you might be one friend away from changing your destiny. This week, we're going to talk about the circle of friends that God wants to bring into your life. As Proverbs says, there is a wisdom in a multitude of voices. So who are the people that we are allowing to speak into our lives? Would you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, we are so grateful for tonight. God, I thank you for Fusion. I thank you for a place that young adults of Los Angeles can come, that we can belong, we can find friends, we can find community, and we can find our purpose that you have for us, Lord. And we recognize tonight that one of those purposes is that we would have God-centered friends, a circle of them around us. So Lord, I pray that through our time together tonight, you would strengthen our friendships. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, that it is active, that when we apply it to our heart, by our lives, by the help of your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. We thank you that your word does not return void. So Lord, I pray that your word would speak tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The temptation that I think so many of us face is this desire to convince the world and ourselves that we don't actually need people. I don't need you. I don't need your help. I don't need your love. I don't need your prayers. We want to be strong and we want to be independent. The truth is, I don't want to need you. I don't want to need you. That becomes especially dangerous, though, when we apply that same line of thinking to our walks with Jesus. We've taken this concept of it's not religion, it's a relationship, and we've twisted it and applied it to ourselves so that now we have a relationship with Jesus that is independent of any other people speaking into it. I don't need you to help me follow Jesus. I don't need you to speak into that process. I certainly don't need you to tell me when there's something in my life that might be interfering with that. And when we're not careful, what it turns into is us viewing our relationship with Jesus like a phone booth. We walk into the phone booth and we close the door and we pick up the phone and I'm in my phone booth with my door closed on the phone talking to Jesus about my relationship with him. And then you're in your phone booth over there with the door closed on the phone talking to Jesus about your relationship with him. But here's the thing, the church shouldn't look like phone booths. We believe in circles here at Christian Assembly. We believe that your best spiritual growth and your best life is found living in circles. We believe that God wants to give you a circle of friends who are going to encourage you, who are going to challenge you, and who are going to fit together with you in a way to help you play a bigger role and be more a part of God's mission and God's heart for this world. But how do we find this circle of friends? What does that circle of friends look like? Because the truth is, we all have a group of friends around us in our lives, don't we? But are they the right people to help us become everything that God intended for us to be? So we're going to talk about three ways that we can understand God's plan for your circle of friends. And number one, write this down. I love this. A real circle of friends has refrigerator rights. I love this. A real circle of friends has refrigerator rights. If you've got real friendships, you know what I'm talking about. Refrigerator rights is the understanding that you can just walk into somebody's house, straight to their kitchen, open that refrigerator, and grab something to drink out of it without asking for permission. Refrigerator rights is not a natural place for friendships to begin. If I walked into most of your houses and went to your fridge and grabbed something to drink, you'd be like, my pastor has lost his dang mind. Gonna just walk in and grab a LaCroix like that? Are you kidding me? Mango, the best one? Are you serious right now? But think about what refrigerator rights communicate. It means that you've made it past somebody's social media into their real life. It means you've made it past somebody's front door and now you're in their home. It means you've made it past the living room and now you're in the kitchen, which for so many homes is actually the center of life in a house. For me growing up, the kitchen is where my family, I have the best memories being with my family in the kitchen. It's where we cooked. It's where we laughed. The kitchen is where a family learns to serve one another, cooking food for each other, washing dishes that somebody else used. When Blake and I have people, my wife Blake, when we have people over for dinner, I always aim to have a meal done. By the way, it's an art to get a meal all to come together at the right time. Anybody who cooks knows what I'm talking about. It's like there's nothing worse than something that was done like half an hour ago. So I always aim to have everything ready, but I always intentionally try to have it ready between 10 and 15 minutes after the people arrive. Why? So we can spend a few minutes together in the kitchen. So they can be a part of this process. They can be a part of this meal together before we sit down and break bread or tacos most often together. When we look at the early church in the book of Acts, as God's people first began meeting, as the community was forming, as they first began doing life together, there was this intimacy and this connection. And it was totally normal. It was commonplace for them to eat, to drink, and to share life together. We read about it in Acts chapter 2. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles formed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now, this is a life-changing, world-changing type of friendship that we find here. Can you imagine? Can you imagine friends who serve each other and give to one another? Friends who regularly pray together and share meals together and have an open door policy where it is welcomed and expected that other people would be joining this group, joining this circle, joining this community. But here's the thing. You don't drift into refrigerator right kind of friendships. You have to build it. And building refrigerator rights kinds of friendships, it takes risk. It takes putting yourself out there. It takes showing up somewhere where you may be a little resistant to go there. When my wife Blake and I first moved to Los Angeles, about a year later, we realized we didn't have any refrigerator rights kind of friends. We had like maybe go to the movies together kind of friends, but no refrigerator rights friends. And then one day, one of our pastors on staff, she contacted me and she said, hey, I got this other couple. They just got married too. And I think that you guys should get together and hang out. I think you might be friends. And if I'm completely honest with you, Fusion, I didn't totally want to. I felt like I was being set up on a blind date. And I was like, I'm good. Already married. Don't need any more of that sort of activity. That's weird to me. But we went and we had dinner together at their house. And a friendship was formed. And then, after being friends for a while, we decided to take a risk and start a life group together. And we invited more couples into our life group. And now, something like 6 years later, Blake and I have a circle of friends around us that have refrigerator rights in our lives, both literally and figuratively. The people in my life group, they have the right to speak into our lives. They help shape how we raise our kids. They influence our walk with Jesus. And it's taken time.
We've been together like 6 years, but it's changed the course of our lives to have a circle of friends that have refrigerator rights in our lives. The next quality of a God-type circle of friends, number two, a real circle of friends knows each other's flaws. A real circle of friends knows each other's flaws. Here's what's so interesting about all the friends that I've ever had. They're all flawed, just like me. In a real circle of friends, they can know each other's flaws and still accept and welcome each other. When Paul writes to another community of believers in Rome this time, he writes in Romans 15, "May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory." We need a circle of friends around us with whom we can be the most honest. You see, the truth is, we don't walk around sharing the most honest version of ourselves with everybody we meet. And that's probably a good thing, because that would be weird, right? Anybody interacted with an oversharer lately? You sit down at Starbucks, or maybe you're in the airport, and you strike up a conversation with a complete stranger, and all of a sudden, without warning, they're telling you about their cat's surgery, and they're telling you about their cat's favorite meal, and they're telling you about their cat's feelings, and they're telling you about why they can't get a date, and you're like, I might know a little bit about that for you, like, if I could speak into this situation for you. Oversharing with people who aren't ready for it, it can be weird. However, we need to have a circle of friends, a place where we can share everything and have it not be oversharing. We need a circle of friends who can hear the most honest version of us and remain loyal and committed to us. A place where love always wins the day. And that love doesn't mean just letting you do anything that you want to. I'm so grateful for the circle of friends in my life I have who love me and who know my flaws. But more than just knowing my flaws, they are so committed to me, they refuse to just leave me in my brokenness. Three of my best friends in the world, they're pastors from all over the country. They're all in different states. We talk every day. We text every single day. And they are guys who know me and they know my flaws. And they love and accept me anyways. They're the people in my life who say, Bo, stop it, and I love you. Stop it, and I love you. I can't describe the relief that I have knowing that this group of guys, this circle of friends, they know everything about me, and they love me, and they accept me, and I still get to be a part of this circle of friends. Because the truth is, they all have stuff too. They all have flaws too. And I love them and I accept them, while at the same time I speak truth to them and I call them to their best life. Get a circle of friends who love you and encourage you and who will not cast you aside because of your flaws. But it's important that they also won't let you settle for less than God's best in your life. Build yourself a circle of friends with whom you can be the most honest. Finally, number three, a real circle of friends fights lions together. A real circle of friends fights lions together. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." The Bible, it describes our enemy, it describes Satan as a lion seeking to destroy, seeking to devour us. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your marriage, either your current marriage or, if you're single, your future marriage. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your career. He wants to destroy your testimony so that you can't preach boldly about Jesus because of things going on in your life. And one of his great strategies for doing this is isolation. But a biblical circle of friends are the kind of friends who refuse to let you wander off. They refuse to let you become isolated. And when they see the enemy, when they see him coming after you, when they see him coming after your family, when they see him coming after your walk with God, they respond together strongly. I got a video clip to illustrate what I'm talking about. Check out this clip. Here we see some water buffalo and some lions. And those lions have that little baby water buffalo. And here comes the herd. Alex, if you'll join me up here. Listen, if water buffalo can fight lions together, I think we can too. I think the church of the living God, the church of the risen Savior, can rise up and fight lions together too. Listen, following Jesus is no playground activity. I love following Jesus because there's so many aspects to it, so many dimensions to it. And yes, there is hope and there is joy and there is peace and there is love. And at the same time, the Bible tells us it is warfare. There is a spiritual battle taking place against evil rulers and principalities in the spiritual realm. And part of being the church, part of being a circle of friends like what we find described in the Bible, is joining together with a circle of friends with whom you will do battle. Battle for each other. Battle in prayer. Battle where you refuse to allow somebody in your group, one of your people, you refuse to allow them to be picked off and isolated by an enemy who is seeking to destroy them. Fusion. It's a war. And in life's worst moments, when things seem the darkest, when things seem the hardest, when things seem the scariest, I don't need positive thoughts and good vibes. I need the prayers of the church to rise up to the all-powerful God. Who is all-powerful? Who is all-loving, who is concerned with my situation, and who is able to intervene and to change things. This is what a circle of friends should be for each other. This is what I have found in my life. When marriages are in trouble, when jobs are lost, when finances are tough, when faith is in question, when something scary or painful or hard happens with our children, we go to war with each other. We show up and we sit with each other. And we hold each other. And we wipe each other's tears. We bring meals to each other. And most importantly, we pray for and with each other. We remind each other that this is not the end of the story. This is not how this thing ends. What you're facing in your life is not a period. There is more to this. And I'm going to be with you until that day comes, until all things are made right. I will be here by your side, going to war with you and for you and on your behalf. There are people in this room tonight, Fusion, you're vulnerable. Because you're isolated. The enemy will always go after the isolated one. You're isolated and you don't have a circle of friends who know everything about you, who love you and accept you anyways, and who will fight lions with you and for you and on your behalf. A Jesus-centered circle of friends will change your life. And Jesus tells us, will also change the world. People will say, I don't know what that is, but I want that. They may not know what you believe, but they'll know what you have. They'll see that you have a group of friends who has a right into your life. They'll see that you have a group of friends who fully accept you and also love you too much to let you just stay that way. They'll see that you have a group of friends, a group of lion fighters around you. You can build that. We can build that. Fusion can be made up of those types of circles. In fact, it already is. And those circles, they are ready to welcome you in. They are ready for you. So many of us, we found these type of circles in life groups. And if you aren't a part of one, we have them ready for you. Listen, your circle of friends is probably just waiting for you to show up, to have the courage to arrive. There are life groups ready for you. Desi just started a life group. If you're a woman in this room, you've got a circle of friends waiting for you. Join a life group. Take a risk. Get out there. Go join a life group. Build yourself a circle of friends who will change your life and who will change the world with you. And ultimately, as we're talking about friendships, Fusion, would we remember that we are ultimately trying to be the kind of friends to each other that Jesus was to us first? Don't you know that he gives you access to himself? Talk about refrigerator rights. Jesus has given you access to the holy God of the universe. When you don't deserve it, when you can't earn it, when I've done everything in my life to disqualify myself from this access, Jesus gives us access. Don't you know that Jesus accepts you as you are? Flaws, mistakes, questions, doubts, all of the things in your life, he accepts you. Arms wide open, says, come in, you belong here with me. And I love you. Don't you know that Jesus fights on your behalf? Don't you know that him going to the cross was the ultimate act of warfare and the ultimate symbol of victory? Jesus loves you so much, Fusion. He was the kind of friend to you that we wish we could be for each other. So we're going to worship together now. We're going to sing about this love of Jesus. And then I'll come back up and I'm going to pray for us. Alex, will you lead us?